Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is The Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys kicking back, sitting down somewhere. Maybe you're walking or getting exercise or catching fish. Who knows? Or fishing. It could be. Glad to have you guys with us. We've got a lot of fun stories coming up. We're going to highlight new world line class record largemouth bass. We're also going to talk about the five largest bass in history largemouth in the United States.
Really?
And yeah, so cool stories coming up. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Hey, Ava.
How's it going?
Good. Good. You?
Doing good. You know, I'm enjoying the summertime weather, but... Can't believe fall is right around the corner.
We had some crazy.
You're rushing it a little bit.
I don't know.
You're like rushing it a little bit.
Once the 4th of July is over, it's kind of like, well, now it feels like
what?
Fall.
I suppose you got a countdown to Christmas on your watch, don't you?
I love Christmas. You know.
Oh my, you guys.
Hey,
I love skiing, but this is beyond.
Think of the positive side here.
Stop the horses,
on
please.
Hallmark,
we don't have to talk skiing for a couple of months.
Yeah,
yet.
We don't. I'm not even bringing it up, except they ordered a new pair of skis last week. But other than that, why are you kidding? Oh, here's
I'm
the reason,
anxious for
Don.
Fall. I like fall, though, by the way.
Well, I'm not saying I don't, but here's the reason this is going on, I guarantee you. This last week, we had 90 degrees. What was it? Monday, we had 90 degrees, and then Tuesday rolls around.
75.
Air conditioning's on when I wake up in the morning, and
doesn't need to
I
be.
Walk out. I'm like, wait a minute, turn that doggone thing off.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole day was just gorgeous. So, yep. You know, some good stuff during this week. But, you know, Ava, a little bit of a cool front does not mean fall is here. I'll be saying the same thing you come.
It's a tease.
No, I mean,
come it's
August,
a tease.
It's going to be, hey, hello.
It just, it feels like we only have a few weeks.
Stop.
No, we got lots of time.
Okay.
Lots of time.
Speaking of.
I got to get a couple fishing trips in yet.
I was out last weekend.
Yeah.
And saw something that I had never seen before in all the years I've been on the river. You know, in the summer, if you're not familiar with what happens in a lot of mud bottom lakes, they get a bug hatch. In this case, it's a mayfly hatch. If you're looking up at Mille Lacs, they get the fish flies and all the other, you know, whatever. That get absolutely crazy, right?
Yeah.
In Red Wing, what they do is they know bug hatch is coming. They'll make an announcement. The bridge lights will be turned off. Everything, you know, parking lots, because they're attracted to light. They die and they lay down and big
dry
piles and turn into a stinky smell.
Where are you going with this?
Well, first time ever, went out doing some pan fishing this weekend.
Yep.
And got on the water about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. Nice, just beautiful morning.
Yeah.
Calm, just beautiful. River just light, well, light flow in the river was not a good thing. We need more water. But nonetheless, all of a sudden I look and I say, hey, there's a mayfly on the water. That's pretty cool. Then I look and see another mayfly. Then I see another one. All of a sudden, with a 200-yard stretch of where I'm parked up against a tree,
yep.
The whole river is now fish all over. They are on fire hitting these mayflies that are coming up. Never seen a mayfly hatch happen from start and cycling for the next hour and a half to, you know, they come in waves. And I've never seen it happen
So
it's always a nighttime scenario.
Did you put a mayfly on your hook?
No, I didn't have to worry about that.
No?
The old float was going under the water regularly, so I don't have to worry about it. Besides, you're trying to battle with 400 million others, and I just said, no, we're not going to fight it.
That's when you want to be fly fishing.
Yeah, if you can, but there's so many. I mean, literally, if you're on a more constrained body of water, that'd probably be better.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were so many.
Of course.
It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And to watch all of a sudden fade off, oh, they're done. And then the fish will move back, and then you get more bites. And then as soon as the flies start coming up again, then it would slow down a little bit.
Then
it would fade off, and then, the fishing would pick back up again.
Okay.
It was the wildest thing I'd ever seen. Well. But we had a great trip. I don't often use leeches because it's tough to get this time of year.
Right.
But I had some leeches that I had in the fridge, and I quartered them, believe it or not. Cut them in half and cut them again in half.
Yep.
And used that. It worked great. And
what were you catching?
Bluegills.
Bluegills?
Yep. And we got a couple crappies and a couple white bass, which is always fun on ultralight.
Sure.
But nonetheless, what I found that was kind of cool, I'm a big Cubby jig fan. They work great. It's a little tiny plastic kind of a tail to it. Pink and white's my favorite. It works for the sunfish. I was using Texas Red as well. That worked pretty good. But my buddy in the back of the boat, he was using a regular red worm, and that works
just as
quite well.
as
well. The nice part about the leech, though, it stays on longer.
Yeah, they're tough.
The worm is like, gone.
You're baiting it all the
Every
time.
One of them, gone, another one. So you have to literally feed it onto the hook and then put one loop over, and then they have some retention.
Sure.
But other than that, it makes it difficult. But, yeah, we got our limit.
Have you ever cut off little squares of rubber band to hold your bait on the hook?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Actually, what I use is part of a plastic worm that I'm not using. Just a little piece
of that.
That
works, too?
I put that on. The problem is this, Don. It's not a matter of it being coming off over the hook.
Right.
They're just tearing it off.
Right.
So if there's no retention on that, it's not a big deal because you're just, basically just dropping over the side and pulling it back up. They
grab it and
pull it right off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't get the thing nailed down. It's pretty crazy deal. But what a great fun thing. We knew the bite was not going to be good as far as the walleye goes. And of course, the walleye guys were singing the blues for the most part. But they did have a decent catch. They had an AIM walleye tournament going on. And
I wondered. I was
it's catch and release. So
I took a tour last weekend through the one of the parks here, and I said, "There's got to be a tournament going on." There were so many rigs parked in the park. I mean, there had to have been.
Yeah, Bay 70, Point. There wasn't. I launched out of Bay Point or at Bay Point at Colville. That's further down the river.
Bay Point was
the
there
event.
Was a lot.
Bay Point was where the event was out of. Yeah. So, I had a good time. Filleted them all out, Don. So,
do you have a dinner?
Nice bag of fish. And pretty cool. Well, tell you what, we're going to be back. We're going to talk a little bit about largemouth, the world record line class. We're going to talk about that and more when we return. Thank goodness you're all still here. I'd like to have that happen. That's a good sign, right? Of course, I don't know that, but I'm just assuming that.
Yeah, you're assuming.
I am. I am.
That's good.
Funny story.
Let's hope that's the case.
Yeah. A funny story. First, let's set the table. I want to make sure you guys realize you can sign up for the Fish With Us.
Fish With Us contest.
It's multiple times.
Coming in September. So all the rules are right on our website at
thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Yes. And please look it over. You can register every day.
Increases your chances of winning.
It increases your chances. I've already seen that happening where I get the same the same person registering. Or there's
multiple
more
times.
Than one, actually.
Yep, there you go.
that register every day, and it just increases your odds. Because when this whole thing is said and done, I actually had somebody ask me about it. The other day, and I said, It's not like we're pulling names out of a hat. We literally have a list of everybody that's registered, and they're in numerical order, and then we have a computer pick the number.
Yep.
So we have no idea who's getting selected. Nope. And then when, you know, we make the calls, make sure they're able to go along. Hopefully you have cleared the dates in case you get drawn, so you're capable of going along.
Yep.
And the way we go, we're going to go up to Loon Lake.
Yep.
In Ontario. It's actually, we go in through Crane Lake in Minnesota. We go on about a 14-mile ride over a boat portage and then into the camp. And it's going to be an adventure.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun.
No question about it. So check that out. Check us out on Facebook as well. And we'll be putting a post on there with the link so you can click on that and take you right to it. Should be good. Should be good. Announcement that came out that I just saw today. The state of Minnesota announced that at Owatonna is going to be hosting the Governor's Pheasant Opener for 2023. Doesn't that seem late, Don? I'm just a little bit pessimistic.
The opener or the announcement?
The announcement.
Yeah.
The opener is going to happen no matter what.
Yeah, typically that is announced the 1 year prior for the community that's going to be hosting those events. It's you know, it's not as big of an event, I don't believe,
as a
fishing opener is, the Governor's Fishing Opener. But they also have a deer opener.
Yeah.
And now a pheasant opener. So I'm not sure where they'll be hosting it in
Owatonna.
Did they say?
No, I didn't really look at it. I just took a glance. We'll have more details as it comes up. But well, you heard that the Minnesota Deers Association or the MDHA pulled out of the deer hunting opener as a sponsor.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, they pulled out of that. So we'll have some more detail. I wanted to get a little bit more before I went too in depth on it. But yeah. And they got replaced different, I think it was Buffalo something replaced them as a sponsor. But yeah, there's a little controversy there.
Buffalo?
It's Buffalo, not Buffalo County or something.
What was your question about the pheasant opener?
Where it was going to be located in Owatonna?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure.
Owatonna.
In the Owatonna area. I mean, it's not going to be in, it won't be in town, but they'll probably have their festivities in town.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing they will be either working with some preserves or.
Which is.
Or some habit, you know, some Pheasants Forever habitat.
Sear, yeah.
Yep. That has been, that's usually what they're doing. I think last year wasn't it?
Managed areas.
In Worthington or.
Yeah.
It was in the southwest part of the state. Yeah.
Well, they. You need to. I mean, we need to get some time in to get the habitat benefits built up. I mean, the numbers were on the rebound, but I think we need to have more time to get that to happen, because I know I went hunting with Steve Carney from Outdoor News out at the lodge out in South Dakota.
Yeah.
And he was so funny. He'd shoot before Ron. Ron Scherer was with us. I got to hunt behind Raven. The whole deal is kind of a cool thing. And we were actually featured on, what was it? The Flush, I think it was, that Ron does. And Steve would shoot so fast. And I said, Steve, what is the deal? We got time. You don't understand. I've had the same box of shells for the last 5 years. I get a bird up, I want to get that thing shot and get it down so I can actually get it. He said, this is like nothing I've ever experienced. This is crazy, you know, because the birds are just getting up. And Ron and I were, you know, we're mindful of what's going on. And Steve would just go, whoop, boom, done. And we never even have a chance to take a shot. So Minnesota,
he's a Minnesota hunter. A box of shells and he's hunting South Dakota.
He's not hunting South Dakota. He's hunting Minnesota.
Okay.
That's why he's had the same box of shells for five years.
Yeah, I mean, you can go, you don't need a box of shells, but you'll go through a box of shells pretty easy in a couple day hunt. If you're a bad shot. If you're a good shot, you only need three.
Get them done. Yeah. And have a lot of fun trying to do
that. I had some friends that way. And they could carry three shells in each pocket, and that's all they go out with.
And they come back with
three birds. Yep.
That works. It works. But anyway, so Owatonna, we'll have more on details on that as the time goes on. Same with the deer opener as well. So we'll have those kind of cool stories.
I wonder if they've announced that yet.
Yeah, they did. That's why they had to have a they had to make an announcement because the MDHA, Minnesota Deer Association, they pulled out, and it was due to political reasons. And then they had to switch it to go to this other group, and then they had some type of announcement.
Oh. It'd be interesting to know if other states have a governor's type event like that. Yeah, I know South Dakota, I believe, has a governor's pheasant hunt.
Yeah. The population of the state like triples when pheasant hunting is going on.
Yeah.
And I don't mean
That's
resident. Non-resident, it's crazy. Yeah. So one of those things. But another nice story, Don, out of St. Croix, or I should say Park Falls, St. Croix Rod Company. They're celebrating their 75th year in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Isn't that cool?
It is cool. I mean, they're a fantastic rod.
It's, they say they make the best rods on earth, and it's funny. They've been at it a long time, obviously, and they do make a quality rod. They've been evolving with all the other companies, and it's, if you look at the rod companies such as that, it's a small community where you look at the Berkleys, you look at the Shimanos, you look at, those are global, big global companies, right?
Right.
And
what about Loomis?
Well, they're part of the Shimano group. It's the same company that owns them. But what a completely different mindset, and really providing a community with employment that's beyond expectations.
Have you ever been up to their customer appreciation?
I have not.
Event?
Mm-mm.
I've always wanted to get up there, but it seems like I'm fishing.
Well, and they've done it for 12 years.
Yep.
So they talk about their thousands of people showed up to the customer appreciation day.
Yep.
It's held in June each year. The year's free event included seminars such as Al, Jim, and Jeremy Lindner, Joe Bucher, Steve Heiting, Brian Brosdahl, Joel Nelson, Jason Halfen, and Todd Hun. Other activities are rod building tent, and they show visitors how to build rods, casting sessions for anything from fly fishing and spinning, bait casting, and discount merchandise. And they, like I said, they've done that for 12 years. It's a pretty cool way to give back to the Midwest, because there's people come from a long ways away to go to that event.
Oh yeah,
it's a pretty cool deal. And I find 72 years it's been in Park Falls, just distinctly.
Yeah, they're a big event. You're gonna have to wait about 11 months to participate in it, because I think it's mid-June.
Mm-hmm. So if you look at it, the logistics and shipping in Park Falls, it wouldn't be a place you'd normally put your distribution center. Usually you go to Kansas City or Nashville, which is where you look at some of the bigger companies are. But they wanted to be a good steward to the community, and they did not want to move it outside of Park Falls. And that's a big statement about the ownership of the company. I really, hats off to those guys. And if we talked about the other manufacturers, I think the big secret they do survive and thrive is because of the dedication that people have. And they run one shift 5 days a week. You can go on a tour, schedule a tour. If you want to go up there, you can schedule a tour. And they go through the whole thing with you, everything from ice fishing to musky, walleye, trout, panfish rods. They have almost 900 SKUs.
So different rods?
Yeah.
Oh, that's my problem.
You don't have enough.
No, I couldn't figure out what to use them all for.
So, I mean, you also think about it.
I can deal with a half a dozen.
Ice fishing, fly fishing, and that's my sad part of my garage. I've got,
too many.
More of them. But I'm using them. I mean, everyone has a different specific use. You have them set to go, and you're ready to rock and roll. That's about it. So, congrats to St. Croix Rods. Hopefully we'll get them to come on and talk a little bit about the product in the near future here. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back. More Valley Outdoors.
Here's your chance to fish with us, The Valley Outdoors. It's simple to do. Register online at thevalleyoutdoors.com and wait for your name to be drawn. We're giving away a trip to four individuals that includes lodging at Loon Lake Waterfall Cabins and fishing the waters of Loon Lake in Ontario, Canada. Join Don and I on this fabulous fishing trip September 16th through the 21st. We'll be spending the day with one of our hosts searching for walleye, bass, and northern pike, plus a walleye seminar and contest for prizes throughout the trip. Just register today through valleyoutdoors.com. The Valley Outdoors Radio and Loon Lake Waterfall Cabins. Get registered today to fish with us. Winners announced on August 26th on the Valley Outdoors Radio. Complete promotional rules available at thevalleyoutdoors.com. So, Don, you know, you always like to talk big fish stories, right?
Absolutely.
And I saw this and it jumped out at me. It's not a catfish story that I know you wanted to have me tell you, but it is about a Texas largemouth. And it was just certified as a new world record and a line class record, IGFA, line class record by Lee, that's Leah, not with an H, but a L-E-A, and Powell of Jackson, Texas, and was fishing in, I'm a little confused on it, but O.H. Ivy Lake, which is kind of odd, but nonetheless. And she boated the 12-pound, 3-ounce largemouth bass, 10 minutes to fight. And it took it to a nearby gas station, an RV park, go figure, where it was weighed on a certified scale. After recording the official weight, they relaunched the boat and released the bass. At the time, neither Smith nor Powell had any idea that it was a contender for the new IGFA world record. That alone is worth the story. They brought it in the live well to the facility,
weighed it,
and brought it back to the lake and let it go. She was at the Bassmaster Classic in Knoxville this last March and told a friend of mine about a fish, showed him some pictures. He said, "You should get that fish certified." Powell decided to take the advice. She submitted the comprehensive list of required information, sent them a 20-foot section of the 10-pound test line she was using. When she caught the fish on June 23rd, it was certified as a new world record for the 12-pound line
class.
Yep. And trying to get some high points here. Artificial lure. Yep, she was using artificial. And guess what she used to find the fish? Live scope. The Garmin live scope. And he said, cast where I cast. He saw the fish about 50 feet from the boat in a bunch of cedar trees. And watched the live scope. And said, think I got a follower. Watched the fish in the screen. Fish nosed down to the soft plastic. Then it turned away. She opened the bail and let the spinning reel, just basically let the lure fall back down.
Yep.
And when she did that, it nosed down, took the bait. She said, I just felt a couple little ticks. She said, then I gave her the beans, and it was on.
I've never heard that statement, give her the beans.
I have. As soon as she got the fish close to the boat, it did a nosedive, took off again. She said it was forced to continually adjust her drag throughout the fight. Once I got it to the net, I went back and looked, and the hook was barely in the mouth. And she caught a 10-pounder the previous day. And she said it was the most stressful fight I've ever had. Once she saw the fish, it just freaked her out and finally did calm down. But certified, she had the catch bested a 9-pound, 1-ounce largemouth caught in Mexico in March 2021. And so the all-tackle world record for largemouth is shared by two anglers, but I'm not going to get into that because that's my following story. We're going to cover the top five, jump right into the top five biggest bass. We'll start with number five, Robert Krupe, 21 pounds, nice fish. And Castaic Lake's got big fish in California. They use those big wooden baits that look like a big trout. Raymond Easley, that's 21 pounds. He was in California, same kind of thing. We've got Robert Krupe again, 22 pounds. And guess where he got that one?
Castaic Lake again. Number two, Manubo Karata, 22 pounds, 4 ounces. And that's a big fish. I don't care what anybody says, but he happened to catch it. Lake Biwa in Japan, 22 pound, 4 ounces. There's big bass in Japan.
Evidently.
And number one, biggest bass ever, George Perry, 22 pounds, 4 ounces. And that's
he caught that in central United States, didn't he?
What's that?
Where did he catch that?
Let's see.
Wasn't that Kentucky or something?
No. Doesn't even say. I like looked at this before, and I thought I just might have missed it, but no.
Wow. But so let me ask you, have you ever...
No, Montgomery Lake in Georgia. It was highlighted. Georgia. I missed it.
Have you ever caught a large fish that thought it might...
Yeah.
And so my point is where do you know there's a certified scale that you could actually get it weighed at?
Any butcher shop. Yep.
Just a point where we're going fishing, and if we go into a lake called Loch LaCroix,
yep,
they have lake trout. Last winter, the outfitter was telling me the guy caught a 53-pounder and had to put it back because he was over his limit. And it would have been a world record.
That's upsetting.
That's the story we're going to leave you with. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. This is the Valley Outdoors. For Ava, Don, and myself, I'm Eric. We are going to be here next week. Hopefully you tune in with us. See ya.